This morning in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you'll recognize these words because we usually use them at the beginning of our observance of the Lord's Supper. But what we're going to do is look at a passage that oftentimes becomes familiar through repetition. See if we can shed some fresh light on it as we approach the table of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to that passage. Not, we have Bibles in the pew rack, and be sure to follow along now. Beginning with verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's word. Let us look to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to observe the Lord's Supper this morning, to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we pray, God, as we consider your words of institution given to you through the Apostle Paul, that we better understand what we are doing, Lord, and that this would be something that changes our lives and not just a ritual we go through. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Is an ancient Chinese story that describes a powerful king who sees an ox being led to slaughter. Perhaps the ox is sensing about what's going to happen. The animal is obviously scared. He's trembling. He's shaking like a leaf on a tree. And seeing this ox, the king's heart is moved with pity. And he orders his servants, he says, "Go locate a sheep somewhere. Kill that sheep in the place of the ox." Now later, someone is accusing the king of being stingy, of slaughtering a sheep instead of an ox. The king's defense is this. Listen carefully. He said, "I did what I did because I could see the ox, but I did not see the sheep." Now, that story illustrates a couple of things. First of all, it illustrates how a concrete experience stirs the affection and leads us to action. See, the experience of this king seeing this poor ox stirred a feeling of pity in his heart and led him to spare the ox. Now, there's another side, though, to that illustration, and that's this. On the other hand, it's the illustration of the simple principle we're aware of: out of sight, out of mind. You see, the thought of a sheep being slaughtered, that was nothing more to the king than just an abstract thought. He couldn't see the sheep. But he was stirred with affection because he saw the ox. See, there is a reason why when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we do not celebrate an abstract idea. We have right before us this morning concrete objects: the bread and the cup. And the reason is this: Jesus wants us to remember his death. Did you notice as we read the text, two times Jesus says, "in remembrance of me"? Jesus could have just commanded us, said, "do this." But in the institution of the Lord's Supper, there is a combination of words and concrete objects. Friends, the death of Jesus Christ is such an essential part of the Christian faith that Jesus himself combines words to hear with bread and a cup so we can see and smell and touch and taste, and that way remember the death of Jesus. See, the Lord's Supper through concrete objects, bread and the cup, through the Lord's Supper, the old story of Jesus and his love becomes to us a present reality. Hopefully this morning your affections will be stirred. You will remember, you will respond to the death of Christ, which is, he said two times in this passage, it is for you and for your benefit. It's interesting here that the word for remember in the Greek there literally means this, not to have amnesia. Jesus is saying, do not have amnesia. Do not develop amnesia about me and my death, because the Lord knows us. He knows our frames. He knows our minds. He knows out of sight, out of mind, I forget, I need to be reminded. This morning, as we consider the benefits of the death of Christ, I'd like to call your attention especially to three benefits of remembering the death of Christ. And the first benefit is this. Remembering Jesus' death promotes our repentance. Remembering the death of Christ, it promotes our repentance. You know, in the Bible, repentance is a whole person response to sin. It's a team effort. It involves three things. It involves our minds. It involves our emotions when we repent. It also involves our actions. Let's look at these elements. When we repent in our minds, we agree with God that our sin is the reason why Jesus died on the cross. It may be helpful for you to understand that every sin that you sin is your signature written, signing the death warrant of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sin sent Jesus to the cross. Remember that. Second element of repentance is this. When we repent, in our emotions, we mourn the sins we have done in the past. Because, listen, you can't mourn what you've forgotten. Let me give you a case study in that. Peter's denials in the gospel. It illustrates the relationship of memory to repentance. If you go to Matthew 26, if you were to go there, you would see that Peter is in the garden. He's in the courtyard. He is denying the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the point of swearing and calling down curses and saying, I don't know this man. Have no idea who he is. But I want you to listen now to this verse in chapter 26. Listen to the word of God. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word of Jesus. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And when he remembered what Jesus said, he went outside and wept bitter tears. Do you remember and mourn your sins of the past? Even your sins of this past week. Sins that signed Jesus' death warrant. Sins that sent Jesus to the cross. Repentance involves mourning, which involves memory. Third element of repentance is this. When we repent, our actions change. We do a 180-degree turn from our sins, and then we walk towards God through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we walk on the path of obedience. Repentance is when you stop walking away from God and turn around and start walking toward God. Remembering Jesus' death affects our minds, our emotions, and even the direction of our lives. As a matter of fact, remembering the death of Christ should, in our lives, promote something called a lifestyle of ongoing repentance. See, Christians are supposed to continually repent. Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door in the castle of Wittenberg, Germany. And you know what the first thesis was? Listen to this. The very first one says, and I quote, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, chapter 4, verse 17 of Matthew, Jesus willed, hear this, that the entire life of believers is to be a life of repentance. Is your life a life of repentance? The Lord's Supper is before you this morning to promote your repentance. Second benefit of remembering the Lord's Supper is this. Remembering Jesus' death, not only does it promote our repentance, but secondly, remembering Jesus' death prompts our thankfulness. It prompts our thankfulness. The word there, if you notice, it says there, when he had given thanks in verse 24, the word there is Eucharisto. If that sounds familiar, it is the word from which we get the Eucharist, which is another name for the Lord's Supper. In other words, as we take the bread and the cup, the Lord desires that we be moved with gratitude to God for the greatest work he has ever done on our behalf. That is the work of grace, the work of redeeming us by his death on the cross for our sin. Many of you grew up hearing the song, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." I would encourage you as, and I hope in your prayers every day, that a big portion of your prayers is listing what you ought to be thankful to God for. Listing reasons for thanksgiving. And you know, number one on the hit parade of the great things God has done for us, number one with a bullet, should be the blessing of being made right with God through the death of Jesus Christ in our place. Friends, whatever other blessings you have in life, there is no greater blessing than being reconciled to God and being guaranteed a place in God's forever family because not of something you've done, that would be religion, but because of what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. God's desire for us this morning is that the words of our Lord and the bread and the cup will be rubbed together like sticks to kindle a fire of thanksgiving towards God, a fire that burns in our hearts, a fire that draws other people to its light and warmth. That's the second benefit. So, remembering Jesus Christ promotes our repentance. Remembering the death of Jesus Christ prompts our thankfulness. Notice in the third and final place, this third benefit. Remembering Jesus' death provides our hope. Provides our hope. Repentance, thankfulness, and hope. Friends, hope is essential, not only for our well-being, but for life itself. Think of it this way. Hope is like oxygen. Without hope, we suffocate. Proverbs 13:12. Listen to the word of God. Hope deferred, that is postponed, delayed, makes the heart sick. Have you noticed that when something you're hoping for is put off and put off and put off, your heart breaks, makes your heart sick. And even worse, to quote the great reformer John Calvin, quoting him, he said, "When you stop hoping, you're dwelling in the vestibule of hell. For in hell, there is no hope." You see, if you have no hope in your life today, your life will sooner or later become a living hell. But that brings us to the good news of the gospel, which is because of the death of Jesus Christ, a death reconciling us to God, a death guaranteeing us a future with God. Because of what we celebrate this morning, our hope is not just a future hope. No, we have hope right now. Now, you know how to have hope right now? Because we tend to see hope as always future. No, it's something else too. The way to have hope today is this. Walk into the storehouse of what Jesus has done on the cross in time and space and history. He's done something in history for you, and then from the storehouse of God's gracious redeeming work for us in the past, we can draw out hope. Hope that we can carry into the future. Look at it this way. God has an impeccable track record. 100%. No defeats. All wins. What God has done, God will do. Perfect track record in the past points us to a tremendous, tremendously bright future. And as we hear the words of Jesus and see and touch and smell and taste the bread and the cup, think about it. We're holding in our hands, we're ingesting into our bodies something concrete, something infusing our lives, nourishing our souls with grace-fueled gospel hope. Hope based on what Jesus has done in the past. hope that propels us into a bright future. As we hear the words of Jesus, let us remember, as we mentioned earlier, out of sight, out of mind. Jesus knows that. He knows how our minds work. He is so intent on us remembering His death that He gives us this morning concrete objects that we can see and touch and smell and taste to help us remember His death. See, remembering the death of Jesus benefits us. Remembering promotes our repentance. Remembering prompts our thankfulness. Remembering provides us with the hope that we need. My prayer is that remembering the death of Jesus Christ and embracing this Jesus who died for you will fill you this day with hope. Let's pray. Lord, we need to be reminded of our sin that sent Jesus to the cross. Lord, help us to remember and help us to be sad about our sins, to be upset enough about them, to turn from them and to turn to You in repentance and faith and obedience. And Lord, as we count our blessings every day, which I pray that we do, help us to realize every day there is no greater blessing than what You have done for us through the death of Jesus on the cross. Lord, kindle the fire of thanksgiving. And Lord, help us to understand that because of what happened in the past, the past guarantees us hope for the future. Lord, You are a faithful God. You have done great things for us. And what we're about to celebrate is the greatest thing. Lord, help us to celebrate this sacrament together and to remember. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.